Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Wednesday, January 11th. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm raring, ready to go. Doing well. The Rangers have won 10 out of their last 11. We're flying high again. And, we are on fire! And I'm enjoying the ride.
Big overtime win last night over the Desert Dogs, the Phoenix Coyotes. Mike Smith played a terrific game last night. There's no doubt about it, but he just wasn't good enough. Not as good as the guy at the other end of the ice, as far as I'm concerned.
When it came down to crunch time, and, you know, Henrik, I don't know what his exact record is in shootouts this year. He hasn't been as stellar, why I made that an Italian word, I don't know, but as he has been in the past in the shootouts, but he certainly was last night, stopping Shane Doan, the captain of the Phoenix Desert Dogs, who took advantage of one Ryan Callahan earlier in the game, but got it shoved up his proverbial tuchus later on as he was stoned by King Henrik. King Henry, as the Coyotes announcers were calling him, from what you told me.
Yeah. Ranger fans chanting Henry here at the Garden. No, they're not, you fucking morons. It's Henrik. Worse than that, they're terrible. Terrible. Right up there with the Penguins announcers. Guy uses the play-by-play guy, Todd Walsh, he uses that fake announcer's voice, and here come the Rangers into the Coyotes zone. And then the other guy, Tyson Nash, I think is his name, who is a Duguay wannabe, if that's something to aspire to. So he's just another wax dummy in a pink shirt, as far as I'm concerned. Every save Mike Smith makes saves humanity. Callahan was afraid of Shane Doan, as far as what they were saying when they mixed it up towards the end of the game last night. They showed Shane Doan's hat trick from the other night no less than a half dozen times. I was so deflated when I came home and flipped the game on, and MSG had, there was a little symbol on my screen that said, "This game is blacked out, but we found you an alternate channel to watch the game on." And I thought, oh Christ, here we go. I'm screwed.
Well, Amy Block Talk is with us tonight. Maybe she's trying to figure out the video problems.
So, who is that? Who do we have
Amy
here with
Block, us? Amy Block Talk.
Amy Block Talk. Is that the girl I'm in the... Yes. Amy Domestico. What is happening? Do you get a gray box? Sorry. We're trying to figure out why the video's not working again.
Ray Box, what is this, a elderly love radio show?
Oh!
All right, let me go into some things here while you work that out with Amy.
Go ahead.
Last night,
good night, everybody.
Night game. Rangers outshot everybody. I mean, Rangers outshot Phoenix by a lot. They got a lot of pressure. Couldn't get it past Mike Smith. He played terrific. No, like you said, there's no doubt about it. He played terrific. There were some things that some evaluations as I watched the game and did my notes, because I do notes too. Well, first let me get to the concern that some Ranger fans have about Artemi Nisimov and his lack of point production lately. I think Artie has gone about 8 games without a point. But I thought Artie had a better game last night. Looked a lot better. He was involved. He got some shots. You know, Artem is not going to be, I don't think, until he learns how to get some... He doesn't have the finishing hands in front of the net to be a 30-goal scorer. But whatever he delivers is a bonus. I'm already hearing clamoring in Rangerville and Rangerland that he should be moved off the first line, this and that. If it ain't broke, let's not fix it, folks. Not every guy is going to be puts up points on your first line. We know Artem is defensively responsible. I think he's just going through a little bit of a slump. So that was one thing I noticed, that he played a lot better. Brad Richards was a guy last night that I thought offensively was kind of not really involved, Brad Richards. But he did really play a good defensive game. He came back and covered up for D-Man, who had benched. So I was pleased with that. So there's not much to criticize on the Rangers when they're playing so well as a team. The team concept, they are just going to wear you down and look for, you know, those goals, be opportunistic, and they're not going to defer or divulge from the plan. That's not going to happen. Not that. Defer. What's the word I'm looking for? Diverge. Thank you. That was Ira Moskowitz in the back helping me out. Diverge from the plan. And King Henrik, he's just so good at just stymieing the other team into a point of frustration. So that's what I got from that game. There wasn't, I mean, it certainly was a lot more involved in the game than those, but those were two analogies. And I have some more that I'll get into after, you know, maybe you give me your thoughts on the game. So, you know, we're all about equal time here. And I'd like to welcome, before we go any further here, Zyko, his first time listening to this show. There's a couple other people here new to the show. We love having you here, and I'm glad you joined us tonight.
Mandar's new. Welcome.
Yes.
Yes, 9752 is new. We've had 9751 and 9753. But 9752, that's new. My quick thoughts on the game. You know, another nail biter. I thought they played well. They had good shots on Smith, and how many? He made some terrific saves. Gavrik's penalty shot was, you know, it seemed to be. I think Derek Stepan said the ice was bad. Pretty bad down that end of the and that was
down there.
Well, that was his explanation for Richards and who went first? John Mitchell. Both. I mean, they didn't even get a shot off. The puck just kind of slid off their stick. They fumbled it essentially. Stepan said it had to do with the ice down there. Gavrik's Gavrik's penalty shot, you know, it's not his, I think we all know, it's not his forte. It's not what he does best. But he does have two shootout winners now this year, doesn't he?
Yes, I believe so. And the key, and it was funny because when I was watching the game, I said, whatever I don't, what I don't want to see from him is he does this move on the penalty shots and shootouts where he goes to the backhand and tries to roof it. It never works. So I was glad to see him try another move. And, you know, if we were on the other side of that, I think Phoenix had a real, now, maybe you guys will disagree with me, but I think they had a real issue with that penalty shot. That certainly was not a slash. He just, like, tapped him. I mean, I don't know why they called the penalty shot. Listen, I was happy they called the penalty shot. But I didn't think that was much of an infraction.
No,
I mean, you look.
I was I wasn't necessarily surprised that it was called. I didn't really think it should have been a penalty shot. He really didn't. I mean, Gavrik didn't have a clear scoring chance, I thought. I mean, I thought maybe you want to call him for hooking or a slash or whatever, fine. I didn't think it warranted a penalty shot.
You know, but after the, you know, the jacking we got in the Winter Classic, I'm not about to complain about the referee's buffoonery when it comes to penalty shots. And I was, he just made a great save with the stick. And Gavrik did manage to lift it, but it hit Mike Smith's, you know, stick, and it was a fantastic save. What I like what Gavrik does is when he comes down and he just shoots. He's a sniper. I know he's got these skills with it, but I like when he just comes in and shoots. He came in full speed, and he blasted it past him in the overtime and the shootout. And then Derek Stepan, what could you say, man? The guy came in, and he just – it's funny. If you notice Derek Stepan on a breakaway or on a 2-on-1 or 3-on-1, when he's leading an odd man rush, he slows down. He's not a guy who's going to drive to the net. He's going to kind of slow down and hold up and look to make a pass. And he kind of did that on his, you know, he didn't obviously pass it, but on the shootout goal, slowly he went down, slowed up as he got to the goal, and then what a release, just a quick snap, and it was in that upper left-hand corner past Smith, and the Rangers won. And a lot of Ranger fans were upset that Torts went with John Mitchell first in the shootout. I'm thinking at this point, now maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but at this point with the Rangers, you know, being fairly dominant in most games, and it had secured a point, you know, it's not, you kind of want to find out who's the guy, you know, who are the guys that can do this. Now, Mitchell's had some previous success with it, so I wasn't upset that he took the first shot. I mean, if he would have put out Ryan Boyle or Brandon Dubinsky. I may have had a problem with it. But I had no problem with John Mitchell. Did you have a problem with that? And
no, he played the – he has a tendency to play the numbers in the shootout. Who's usually the when he's on the roster, who's usually one of the first guys out for the shootout? Eric Christensen, right? So, you know, he played the numbers. If John Mitchell scores there, nobody's complaining, obviously. And if John Mitchell wasn't one of the first three shooters, and let's say John Mitchell doesn't shoot last night and the Rangers lose, right? Let's say they go six rounds, Mitchell doesn't shoot, and the Rangers lose. What are Ranger fans going to say? Why did he put Mitchell out there? If he's 4-for-7 in the shootout, fire fucking Torts. He sucks. His team is garbage. I'm done. I can't watch another game. That's my blanket Ranger fan impersonation, by the way.
That's
voice.
That's the meathead Ranger fan.
Bluto.
Bluto, the Ranger fan. What would Bluto have said?
You can make me do this again. I can't do them on demand. My wife tries to get me to do this stuff all the time, and I can't do it. Why did he put Christensen out? Or why did he put Mitchell in? Mitchell's 4-for-7. Fire Torts. He fucking sucks. I fucking hate this team. I can't watch them anymore. I'm done. Get me out of this Facebook group. I'm done. This is not the group for me. This is not the show for me. I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving the group. Today is my last day for sure in your Facebook group. That's it. I'm done. Today for sure, I'm leaving. I can't talk to these people anymore. I can't argue about it. I'm done. I'm out of the Facebook group. Did I mention I'm leaving the Facebook group today?
Now, see, I was going on too long, and it started to get too Jewish. Did you notice that? I was starting to meld it, so I had to cut it off.
The consensus, it's either you're a Volga Yogi Bear or a Barney Rubble and Paulie D combo.
Barney Rubble. So if your lips are wet, you're ready to go. Hold on.
I wish the camera was working tonight because I got my arm, I'm flailing my arms over here like a. Never mind. I don't want to insult.
Yeah, that's the other one. Oh, that captain's got. Oh, delete me from this shit. No matter. Today, this is my last day in the Facebook group. All of you. All of you.
Say boo boo, a picnic basket.
Oh, well.
Hey, Bob, I can see. I can do yoga.
I know.
I can bring it up
feel a
little
lot of,
bit.
All right. I know you feel a lot of pressure when I ask you because you always want to please me.
Well, I do.
In
you
a
know,
comedy way.
Yeah, well, what, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
If you say,
okay.
if you say so.
Oh, I know so. speaking of the great Eric Christensen, sent down for conditioning in a two-way contract. He's now on the Connecticut Whale.
So
no
long.
Room. No room at the inn.
Nope.
But EC anymore.
Unless it's the Hartford Motor Inn.
Because I don't know. This may be the longest conditioning stint in the history of hockey. He may not return.
He'll be down there conditioning so long, he's going to look like Hans and Franz.
Jake Steinfeld,
what the hell was that guy's name? Body by Jake, that's him. Whatever his name was. Lou Ferrigno, there, we'll go with Lou Ferrigno. It's going to look like Lou Ferrigno by the time he's done.
It could be like the, you know, a long running joke. Hey, is Christensen still working out down there?
we need a clip of we need like you know weightlifting, you know, like just you know just work out, or treadmill,
or I lift things up, I put things down, or whatever that guy is. Yeah, I think it may be over for EC, but who knows? Injuries. And speaking of which, we have...
Bye-bye!
Jody Marchessault and Zuccarello, they made the All-Star team for the AHL. So, congrats to Jody Audie Marchessault. Marchessault! And Matt Zuccarello. And a lot of whale talk in EC, and I don't know, Volsky cannot crack the lineup yet.
Well, he might have Dubinsky. Dubinsky isn't ready to go tomorrow night.
Yeah, Dubinsky got hurt last night. It looked like his shoulder. Did they ever, are they just giving us the upper body noise, or have they said anything definitive about where?
Hold on, Doobie is sore, is all they're saying. That is all. He did not practice today. And he's a game-time decision for tomorrow night. Game-time decision.
All right. Well, we got a lot of phone calls, I see this. We got like, I mean, this is a barrage. It's an absolute barrage. We're under siege, actually.
We taking calls tonight?
Better. We got a lot of great callers here.
I'll tell you what, you know what? Everybody's been on hold almost the exact same amount of time. So I'll tell you what. Pick an area code at random, and I'll put them on.
How about pick the guy with a name?
All right. Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea.
Oh! Holy from a hairdryer in Patterson, New Jersey. Daniel Fierstein, are you there?
I am right here, gentlemen. How the hell are you?
What are you, under one of those big hairdryers like my mother used to sit under with the bouffant?
No.
Oh, it was like awful lot of noise.
Oh,
now
well.
It's better.
Sorry about that.
Now it's much better.
There we go.
He's got
well,
the top
boys,
down
I, was
the
at, jack. I was at the Garden last night. I got to say I enjoyed the game a lot. I really thought that they played very well defensively. I also thought they really bombed Mike Smith as much as they could. Thank God for Feds for that goal in the third period. You know, Eddie, the only reason why Artie's slumping, he forgot to reload his weapon.
Sorry by me, guys. Sorry by me.
It's not I.
So, you know, I wanted to ask you, Dan.
Yeah.
Can I call you Dan? I mean, do I know you from, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
My brother's name is Dan, and I feel like we're brothers of another ilk.
That's fine.
Dan, the joint was jumping last night. I mean, who would have thought a Phoenix Ranger game would have that much jazz? The fans were into it.
Because they're winning, because the Rangers are doing very well. And the Ranger fans, I have to say, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, as long as they're getting 2 points every single night, jam the place up.
Well, it was alive, and it was. One thing I need you to do for me next time you go, try to track down that idiot that keeps doing the Dennis Poffin sucks chant.
Oh no! Come on, I can't do it. No, I can't.
First
get rid
minute
of
every period, I got to hear this moron. No, right. Sorry.
Actually, you know what? Let me ask you a question. Am I allowed to call you Dan too, or just
well,
is that just Eddie? Oh,
well, of course, Jimmy.
Okay.
Come on.
Just checking.
My buddy.
Thank you. Supposedly last night, I saw tweets from people that they were chanting for Avery last night at the game. Did you hear any of that?
No.
No,
I didn't hear. To be fair, I haven't heard a single chant for Avery. I heard nothing. All I heard was, "Oh God, Roosevelt's on the ice. That's why we got rid of him."
And then he got an assist.
Yeah, but
and they booed him.
Yeah,
they booed him.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk to both of you. Do you think he deserves boos?
Yes.
Yeah, listen, Eddie, I got to say that, you know, outside of the bomb in the overtime game in the playoffs against the Sabres that put the Rangers down from 2-0 to 2-1, because he rarely used his cannon, so in fairness, he deserves it because he's always, I don't know why.
I've seen a lot worse than Michael Roosevelt come down the pike.
Well,
true.
Yeah, but you know what it is too, Eddie? It's not just Michael Roosevelt and his broken body of work. It's everything he represents. He represents that overpaid, underachieving, never healthy, overaged. You know, he represents a different era.
I disagree. I disagree.
I will disagree.
I think he gave the Rangers a couple good years. It's not his fault they overpaid him. You know, I just thought he was decent. He was just like, why don't this vitriol for him? It's just ridiculous.
Look, Eddie.
I mean, look,
we can all agree that Roosevelt, you know, he wasn't going to be working here anymore. It was time for him to go. I think some of us will agree or disagree about how his play was. But honestly, in my opinion, if you are an offensive defenseman, you got a cannon of a shot. And we're not saying it's got to be accurate. We're just saying if it goes
Dan,
in, great for us. But if you can get a rebound shot, that would even be better.
Dan, the Rangers put that onus on Michael Roosevelt that he was an offensive defenseman. He was never an offensive defenseman. I don't think he got over 11 goals in his career. I think he had one good year offensively with the Rangers, and he was supposed to be our power play quarterback.
Right.
That's Mrs. Roosevelt calling.
No, Mrs. No, this is just a friend trying to give me a call. But anyway,
He obviously is listening to you on the radio right now.
No, he's not listening to me on the radio. But let me just say this. Did you get a chance to watch the final installment of the 24/7 or no?
Nope, I'm all caught up to the last episode. I was going to try and watch it before the show tonight, and I just couldn't. I couldn't fit it in.
Well, listen, not to ruin it for you, but I got to say this, and I know Eddie probably watched it. Those bastards in the orange jerseys before the range, before Rupp tied it up, how they were talking about how they were going to score a goal and someone was going to do the Anisimov.
Yeah.
Can you believe that, Eddie? They're talking about how they're going to imitate Anisimov's goal celebration against the Lightning, and that's where the Rangers won, because the Flyers...
Anisimov. Instead of discussing how we're going to score or a stratagem to get the puck past Lundqvist, they're talking about their celebrations. That's why they're a bunch of jokers.
Yeah.
That's why they're a bunch of jokers. That's
exactly
why Scott Hartnell is Raggedy Andy. Because he's a joker. We're thinking about winning the game.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Dan.
Nah, it's just ridiculous. And this is why John Tortorella is the best coach for our New York Rangers. He got this team on a mindset. These guys are hard workers. They don't mess around. They don't pretend. They go on the ice. They do their business. And that is why this team is where they are right now. The best team in the National Hockey League.
That's right. The best team in the National League. And let me tell you, you're right. Peter Laviolette, also that 24/7. Now, listen, it's been edited. We didn't see everything. But he seemed more involved in a team concept, like, come on, boys, we need this game, boys. Get out there, rip your hearts out, go crazy. But whereas Tortorella was addressing players individually and saying, listen, you got to do this. You're responsible for this. He's so focused on each player and their progress or their lack of progress from game to game, that he's got these guys ready for war every night.
Yeah.
And that more than anything came was an epiphany, to use a George Costanza word, an epiphany to me that this guy is a top-notch coach, and it's kind of changed my view about him a lot.
And, Jimmy, just to let you know about those meathead Ranger fans, which I completely agree with you, because I'm sick and tired of hearing all these idiots that are screaming for trades because of certain people are not scoring or getting points. They're on a whatever form of a slump or whatever. When Torts was at practice, and he didn't like it the way that his team was starting the practice, he told them, go back into the locker room, reset, come back when you're ready, and let's have a practice. And I'm telling you right now, Jimmy, if Torts didn't do that up around White Plains to last night's game, we wouldn't even be talking about a win. That probably would have been a trap game, and they would have lost it. So give Torts credit, because he kept his players on their toes.
I agree. And you know what? I forgot to mention this the other night, but I thought when they came – they came off the Winter Classic, who was the first game they played? That was Florida, wasn't it?
That was Florida, yep.
And they were worried about the letdown game. I think that's why he started Marty Biron that night.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that – players get that mindset when the backup's in. They got to work a little harder. They got to kind of rally around him. And I really think that's why he played Biron against Florida. I really do.
I think that was
to try and keep them – mentally sharp in front of the backup, and you know they have sometimes have a tendency to lay back and wait for Henrik to save them, and I think he put Biron in for just that reason, to keep them mentally sharp in front of the backup goaltender.
I completely agree with you right there, Jimmy. You know, this is amazing how all these kids that they brought in, and how what goes on in the American Hockey League with the Connecticut Whale or Hartford, wherever you want to call it, how this Ranger organization has these players ready to go whenever they get the call-up for either an injury or whatever or something, and these guys have been doing a job since day one. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter how they play. I mean, we're diehard Ranger fans. We'll love them. We'll criticize them. But I'm telling you right now, this could be the magical season where they could make a serious playoff run. And I'm really hoping, and I know that we got 4 games left against the Bruins, or we haven't played them yet, but I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling pretty damn good when they face up against the Bruins coming, was it January 21st? I can't wait for that game to come up.
A week from Saturday they play.
Yes, sir.
I think it's an afternoon game.
Yeah,
definitely looking forward to that. All right, Dan, listen, we're going to take some other calls. Call in next time, all right?
Good to have you. Take care. No problem at all. I'll see you guys next time, or I'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks,
Dan. Take care, bro.
All right, bye.
Quick question. I have a question for you. The Rangers have let me make sure I have this right. I believe it is their 5th 4-game winning streak of the season.
I think that's a record, isn't it?
That has never happened before in their history.
Right, yeah, that's never happened before.
First time in the franchise history that the Rangers have at least 4 5 game winning streaks in the first half of the season.
That's right.
Pretty incredible.
They haven't lost
since we all got together.
That's true. It's shaping up to be a very good season, and Dan touched it upon. This team, you certainly can really, I hate to use the word love, but really, it's such a great team to root for. Each guy, you know, and I know you have some problems with certain guys, but each guy, and I have a little bit too, but each guy is just... There's something to like about everybody. There's nobody I hate. It comes from getting over to all that garbage, which did include Michael Rosenwald, Chris Drury. Oh, boy, do we miss his locker room presence. Redden, all that garbage. And see what you can do with just a couple good free agents and some youth? Totally a turnaround. And I think, frankly, some fans don't know how to handle it.
I got another question for you.
Uh-huh.
Would you happen to know who is 5th in the league right now in plus-minus?
Michael Delzato,
plus 25. 5 goals.
Oh, that's
23 points. The first 4 plus-minus, they're all Bruins.
Wow.
Seguin, Chara, Marchand, and Bergeron, and then Delzato. And then 6th is Chris Kelly. And Johnny Boychuk is 8th.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Michael Delzato's played a lot better. I'll tell you, he's very frustrating. He needs to hit the net more. He shoots wide way too much for my liking.
Yeah.
Just do what Dan Girardi does. Just wrist it, get it on net, get it through traffic. Don't try to put it through the plexiglass there. Just get it on net, you know, but he certainly improved from what he was last year. Okay, you want to get to another call?
Yes. Pick a caller, any caller.
Any caller. Oh, I like this. It's a dealer's choice. Let's go to 917.
Zach, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Zach, how are you? Fantastic.
How are you handling all this winning?
I'm loving it. I'm not used to this. I'm so used to us gathering every week complaining about this, that, and the other. Fire towards, get rid of Christensen, all that jazz.
Still,
and
right.
Now all of a sudden we're doing good. It's like I don't have anything to complain about. Now I'm just bored. I'm just like, you know, assembling my thumbs and just like waiting for something.
Well, here, I'll tell you. Okay, since you have nothing to complain about, then tell me, since we're at the halfway point of the season, tomorrow night is the 41st game of the year. What player on the roster are you most surprised at? Who's been the guy that surprised you the most?
Pleasantly.
Either way.
I mean, yeah. Aside from Delzato, because he's been like He's been everybody's surprise.
Well, it doesn't have to be besides Delzato. Well, I think there's been a couple others.
Well, I've actually been surprised that Dubinsky's been slumping. Same with Boyle.
I don't think Boyle's slumping. Just so we're clear, I don't think he's slumping at all.
All right, we'll get to that in a moment. Stay with the positive. Who else is? Would you say Brad Riches has been a surprise?
Yes, I would say that, because we're used to seeing the Rangers bring in these big name free agents, sign them to a high price contract, and they don't meet up to standards, especially in like the first half of the season. And Brad Richards has been playing as well as I would want him to be. He's definitely not number one on the team, but he's not like number 20 on the team.
He's looking at a possible career year in goals. He's never cracked 30 goals. He's if he keeps it up in the second half, he'll be right near it.
He only has like what, 12 or 14 goals this season?
He's got 15 so far.
15. Oh, he might reach it.
Yeah.
Actually, the one thing that's been surprising me so far, and this isn't just an individual play, this is as a team. I don't know how many games this has been going on, but Tortorella has not been changing up the lines. We have a consistent first and second line.
It's true.
For the most part, yeah.
Yep, I mean, for the most part, he has.
I mean, once in a while, he'll change up a line a bit because he wants somebody, he wants to double shift the player, or maybe somebody went out with an injury or an equipment problem. But for the most part, we've seen the first line stay as Gavrik and Isimov and Stepan. Then the second line, Dubinsky, Callahan, and Richards. Third line of Boyle, Fedotenko, and Haglund. And then the fourth line of Frost and Mitchell. Now, I know Boyle has been playing with Callahan and Dubinsky a few times, but other than that, it's been the same.
And I think Girardi for Norris, who's in the chat room, brought up a good point on Carl Haglund. Carl Haglund's been a surprise.
Well, yeah, I was gonna mention Haglund, but
Haglund.
On Christmas Eve, Haglund was at the NHL store, and I praised him for the effort that he's been putting in. I told him, we haven't had a speedy player like you in quite some time, and I appreciate what you've been doing for the Rangers.
Wow. Here's
Now, does he text you asking you if things are in stock at the NHL store?
No, he did not. Well, actually, yeah, he did ask me, but he was at the store when he asked me. He didn't, like, message me at home or anything like a lot of people have been doing.
Now, have you seen an increase in sales for Ranger gear, or do you sense people are getting on the bandwagon with this team yet? Or
you talk about it before or after I posted the angry note?
I'm just talking in general as the season goes on. I mean, there's got to be people coming.
In general, the answer is yes, and not going to lie, it's in part it's all due to the Winter Classic year. We made record sales in the month of December. Our goal was 25% higher than last year. Our goal was for $1.3 million for the month of December. After 3 weeks, we made $1.6 million.
Wow.
We broke the $2 million mark at the end of the month of December. And this is what Reebok promised us, and this is what they reneged on. They promised us a $200 bonus at the end of the month if we reached our goal. But they decided not to give it to us because they're saying Reebok as a whole did not reach their goal because the other store sucked.
Oh, that's bogus.
That's crap.
It is crap because I'm going on my road trip next week. So I'm pleading to everybody here on Blue Shirt Underground, contribute to the Zach Bundick Poverty Fund. My goal is $200.
Go out and sell some Blue Shirt Underground shirts out there. Not at the garden. You could get commission. But
I don't get paid by the hour. I put in a lot of hours the last couple of weeks.
Zach, keep any company for a minute. I'll be right back.
Zach, my co-host, once again. But my gym is away, actually. We were talking about the surprise of Haglund and the whole thing. Here's John Tortorella talking about one Carl Hagelin after one of the games?
I think each year, as you're building your team, you need a surprise. And he's been a pleasant one. It's another young kid, and not only he's helping us offensively, but he's doing a lot of good things away from the puck. So that's you need that. And again, we were hoping it was going to happen during camp. It didn't. And again, I thought the guys down in the minor league team did a great job with him, and he's played very well since he's been here.
So there you have it from Torch's mouth. You know,
He was saying that he wasn't that great in training camp, and you get that from a lot of players. Like, you know that they have the potential, but when they come to training camp, especially Tortorella's training camp, not a whole lot of them will make it out. Stepan was one of the lucky few that made it out, like, right off the bat. And I guess Michael Rosato broke out in the NHL with Tortorella behind the bench, right?
Right, yeah. I mean,
So Del Zotto and Stepan are the two that were able to do it. But many others, like McDonough and Hagelin, to name a few, are not used to it. But after training camp, then they bring it back to Hartford, and they start playing at that caliber. And then when it's time for them to be called up, then you all of a sudden they're ready, and it is very apparent. Now, the one thing that kind of surprises me is I hear you, Jim, and a lot of people complaining about Ken Dernander, saying that he's not a good head coach for the Whale, he should be fired and all that stuff. Yet at the same time, we see these players come up and they're, like, really good. So you wonder, do you really want to get rid of
Dernander, you know,
or is he doing a good job?
Well, you know what, Zach? I'm about to do a mea culpa on Ken Dernander. I used to call him Trans Dernander. I used to mock him. But really, I can't. I used to say that he was a guy that couldn't develop offensive talent. But that's not what the Rangers are about. He seems to be able to coach the type of players that John Tortorella wants and needs for his club. So I've got no problems right now with Dernander, especially with this success of a forward. The defensive coaches they have down in Hartford, what's his face? The former NHL defenseman there.
Daniel?
That's who you're talking about.
Daniel. He's done a wonderful job with his defenseman. And Carl Hagelin, he didn't have a good Traverse City, didn't have a good camp. He didn't look nearly as fast as he looks now. Now, there's an actual buzz anytime the puck is loose and he's skating for it. You can hear it. It's palpable in the garden. So he certainly has been a surprise. And you need, like Tortorella said in that clip, you need a guy like that, a surprise, a young guy who is, you know, overachieving. And maybe he's not overachieving. Maybe this is who he is. I mean, he's got very good stats too for limited amount of minutes.
Well, let me bring you back to the question, and this has to do with what you said in the very beginning of the show, and you said if it's broke, don't fix it. Half of the points he got came shorthanded, but the other half came from when he was on the line with Gavrik, if I'm not mistaken. But now he's on the third line, and, you know, we see he's still skating fast, he's still fighting for the puck, he's still shooting the puck, but he hasn't had that LU play that we used to see when he was first called up. So do you think, in order to get Hagelin going again, do you feel that we should change lines, or should we just leave it as is in hopes that he'll find the spark on his own? Because, quite frankly, I don't think he's going to be finding that with Boyle and Fedotenko. Now, don't get me wrong. They played a great game last night, and that line has been consistent as far as playing, not as far as points goes, but as far as playing goes, but we want to see Hagelin do more. So, again, even though everything is working fine, do you want to see him pair back up with Gavrik?
Well, you bring up a great point, my third co-host, the triumvirate of this broadcast so far.
I'm trying to learn so that way I don't get blown off the air again.
I was discussing with a friend last night, and this of course, I know Jim will agree with this move because the stock is very low on Brian Boyle as far as he's concerned. But how about switching the centers up? I think John Mitchell with Hagelin and Prust, right? Hagelin and Prust.
Yeah.
Would be a... No, wait. Is that Fedotenko and Prust? I'm losing. It's Hagelin, Boyle, and who? Prust?
And Fed. Fedotenko.
Yeah. Fedotenko. That line, to me, I feel like it's got more of a chance to score. I feel with Hagelin around, Boyle is not a good playmaker. Fedotenko is not really a playmaker. I feel like Hagelin's kind of getting gypped a little bit. But you know what? For a young player, you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of work yourself into it, I think, a little bit. You got to learn.
Got to make your bones.
You got to make your bones. And I think also that line is, you know, a defensively responsible line. And I think John Tortorella wants that part of the game taken care of first and foremost, to use a Dave Maloney prefix to every statement.
Well, what if you were to change the third or fourth lines up a bit? You put Hagelin on the third line with Mitchell and Fedotenko, and then you reunite Boyle and Prust. Do you think, you know, the two of them will be with Rupp? Do you think those two lines will be able to create something when the first two lines are resting? The third line is built with speed and grit, and the fourth line is built with grit and no speed.
That's true. But I like Mike Rupp. All right, Zach, we've got to move you along. I love you like a brother.
Understandable. One last thing, I'll let you guys move on. Monday, when I was at the NHL store, I met my childhood idol, Mike Richter, again. He was at
the
store.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. I told him that he was the reason why I wanted to be a goalie, and I told him that he should, when the Rangers were supposed to win a Classic, that he should be in the net for the first 5 minutes of the game, like what they did with Bernie Parent. And then he joked about it, and he said, yeah, Bernie in his one eye.
That's right. That's Don Maloney, who knocked his eye out. Well, at least gave him the eye injury. Inadvertent high stick.
Yep.
All right, Zachy.
All right, Zach, we'll talk to you soon.
You guys have fun. I'm signing off.
Later. All right. Pick a number, any number, Eddie. Look at this chat. Look at this.
Four.
Look at this switchboard. Well, pick an area code, I guess. I made myself more clear?
I'm sorry. I'm so mentally deficient. Area code 631. That's my neck of the woods.
All right. 631. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Margaret Hurley.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you have been MIA.
Well,
visiting Margaret in action.
A lot of things, holidays, going to games, you know. I lead a busy life for an old woman.
Oh, you ain't that old. Now,
notice he said you ain't that old. He could have just said, you're not old. But he said, you're not that old.
No, I am old.
You're not Statue of Liberty old.
No. Although I feel like it sometimes.
So what's going on? I want to know your take. I haven't spoken to you in like 30 games, so let's hear what's going on.
Here's the deal. I got Richard Lewis anxiety. Why am I still anxious? Go ahead. Why am I still anxious?
Why are you so anxious?
Because you can't get the picture of Boyle in that elf costume out of your head.
No, that was just scary, man. That was really scary. No, I always have this, nothing will ever take away the knot in the pit of my stomach, no matter whether they're on the top of the standings or they're vying for eighth place. And the thing that gets me the most anxious is you got dullheads like Pierre LeBrun singing the praises of the New York Rangers. I just want these people like him and McGuire and Melrose and all the rest of them to shut the hell up. Leave us alone. I want to roll sleepily into the Stanley Cup Finals and not have these people focus their attention on us. Because when they do that, it makes me nervous, and it's like being set up for a fall. You know what I mean?
Margaret, I was just going to say, Margaret just wants the Rangers to be like George Costanza. Why must I be the focal point of every conversation? Why can't you just let me be? Why can't you just let me live?
Well, Well,
a man's home
expect,
is his castle.
I mean, how do you expect us to covertly go into the Stanley Cup playoffs, God willing, being number one ranked or in the top three in the NHL? It's just not going to happen. I know what you're saying. I'm a New York Jet fan, please. I accept your condolences. Every time they show that Joe Willie Namath clip when the Jets are doing good in the season, I know that's the time where it's all over. The Jets will not win another game. Why do we have to see this? It's total nonsense. It's over. And I can see your apprehension about, I don't want the coverage. I don't want to hear how great we are. I want to suffer. Let me suffer. Let's fly under the...
Hello?
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 Did we lose Eddie?
Hello?
Teams?
There you are.
Yes.
We lost you there for a second.
Well, I said, get used to it. We're going to be good. We're better than most teams. And we're going to have to accept the praise or just not watch TV unless it's game time. Because if you watch a Ranger broadcast, you wouldn't even know the Rangers were number one in the NHL. They're talking about how great Phoenix is and the great Kevin Dineen and what a great job he's doing. And wait till they play Ottawa. Oh, my Lord, how great they are. Erik Karlsson's going to win the Norris Trophy. Kasper Dolgovins is the greatest thing since sliced pie. You're going to hear everything. Oh, how they've turned it around. So,
well,
I understand. I do believe in that I don't want to hear how great we are, but let's face it. Let's take some pride. Let's try to reverse the psychology.
Well, I know what you're saying, and I understand. It's just my own, you know, crazy neurosis. But the other thing is, if you look around, and the thing that's absolutely amazed me is, okay, the Rangers are on the top of the league by a point, 2 points, whatever. I think Vancouver is 57 points. But look who's right yapping at the heels of Vancouver, and how improbable from the beginning of the season to now is that St. Louis is almost at the top of the league. What kind of job?
But it's the coaching change.
Was it just the coaching change? Could all of those guys have been such idiots that their fundamental hockey skills were not there, and then Ken Hitchcock comes and turns on a light bulb? What is that all about?
I certainly think it's Ken Hitchcock. They have been on a tear. They've gotten their act together. They had a lot of injuries early on in the season, too. They got a lot of guys coming back. The Blues, I haven't watched too many Blues games, but, they got a pretty good team over there. And, and Marcy's familiar with this argument that's been going on in some of the other groups about everybody's worried about us and the Bruins. Well, let's not get excited, Ranger fans. We're not as good as the Bruins. How do I know we're not as good as the Bruins? Have we played the Bruins yet? No, we haven't. We haven't played them yet. Play them in a week, the week from Saturday, in a matinee affair.
What I always tell people is just go easy, enjoy what's happening now, and like Coach Tortorella says, don't project past the next game because, and this is a key thing for me right now, is you got a bunch of young kids on there that have never played an 82-game season, and what kind of gas is going to be left in their tank come March? And that's a big consideration in terms of looking forward. Don't look forward. Take each game as it comes. We're pretty deep. I just got into a whole big discussion about if Bobby Ryan became available to provide the secondary scoring that they're going to need, because they're not getting it from Mr. Boyle, and they're not getting it from Mr. Prost, and they're not getting it from Mr. Dubinsky. So if that came about, who would you trade, or what would you have to give up to get a Bobby Ryan at the trade deadline? And the discussion was, would you give up Staal for Bobby Ryan? And I said, in a heartbeat, because technically...
Wait, you're going to start. They're going to come out and come after you.
Hear me out.
Is that Sloman Shields working at your house? Because they're going to come.
I love Mark Staal. The kid is homegrown. He's great. But honest to God, he is damaged goods now. And if we could make a straight-up trade for Mark Stahl for Bobby Ryan, I would do it in a heartbeat to get that secondary scoring.
Well, Mandar agrees with you.
Well, Mandar's smart.
Yeah, he's the one that said MDZ was done with nothing last year.
Everybody's plotting about the MDZ's got a plus of 25. Merrick Malik had a freaking plus of in that range.
See? What did I tell you, Eddie? When somebody's when somebody's plus minus is good, it's an overrated stat. When it's bad, it's the first thing people mention. He's a minus 22. We got to get rid of this guy. I'm done with this Facebook group. I've had it with you people. Sorry.
Bluto, you're back.
Just a cameo. I got to go.
It's an interesting proposal. I'm starting to think about it. You know, we do tend to covet our guys more, but I can't say he's damaged goods right now, and I can't. This guy is a budding all-star, but you're right. Maybe your thinking is, well, the Rangers have played well primarily the whole season without him, so they could afford to go. And the Rangers have a log jam at defense. Now, obviously, they don't have Mark Stahl's coming up. But you're certainly going to have to make room for Tim Erickson when he finally arrives. Certainly when Michael Sauer comes back. So they have a log jam at defense. It's food for thought. But right now, Bobby Ryan certainly puts you in a position, puts the Rangers at another level of a threat, I think. But it's got to come at the right thoughts. I don't think most fans are going to go for Mark Stahl, but I think it's a good debatable item. I mean, I don't think it's a completely your high, Margaret, kind of question. But
all right, Margaret, we got to take some other calls.
These are some of the musings I've had since last I've spoken to you, fellas, and it's nice to talk to you. And I am around. It's just that I'm kind of floating. I'm doing stuff, and I'm at games, or I'm out doing Zumba or something like that. My goal is to lose 40 pounds by June. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not out at home.
All right, Margaret, you take care of yourself, and say hello to the husband for me.
Good to talk to you. Take it easy, boys.
You too, Margaret.
Right,
bye.
Let's
see. I believe, Colin, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good evening, the great Colin Cosell, host of Icing for Everyone, coming up in, what, a half hour?
2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Oh, what time are you doing an hour and a half again?
Yeah, we're going to make
that,
it a full hour and a half for good.
You like those long shows, huh?
I like to talk, you know. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about. Anyway. I like to talk. I've got to know Lil Ghost.
So I like this. You're on our show, literally getting ready to do your show. This is like it's like something. It's like a crossover, you know, like when Murphy Brown would be on L.A. Law or something. I don't know.
Yes, this is it's like Charlie Brown appearing on Garfield. We're
actually, it's more like Cleveland being back on Family Guy, I think, with
great.
With
so
this
I'm
group.
The random black guy who got his own show. Thanks.
Somebody's got to be.
Yep, that's me, random black guy. I got it.
Great, Peter.
Oh man, so what a wonderful time to be a Rangers fan, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're having a conversation about who might be moved or what's going to happen. I'm like, come on, let's ride the lightning. This is, leave the team as it is. It's great.
We're so bored with winning, we're trading Mark Stahl away now.
Seriously.
This
sucks. Let's bring in Glenn Anderson.
Mark Stahl is a pocket ace. We're just discarding him.
Yeah.
Throwing him out
of
the
pop.
Yeah, I'm still with you. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. They got great chemistry, and they're so tight as a unit together, off the ice and on the ice. Why mess with it? Why mess with it? Looks like all the pieces are in the puzzle, so let's not start messing around with it.
I couldn't agree more. Well, gentlemen, I've got 36 seconds to showtime, so I've got it yet, but you guys have a great show as always, and feel free to jump in when you guys are done over there.
Will do. Thanks, Colin.
All right, guys.
Take
have a
care.
Wonderful night.
Take it easy. You too.
Bye.
Colin Cosell, Icing for Everyone. Check him out just as soon as we're off the air. Thank you very much. All right. You want Oh, we got 347's been hold a while. 347-870, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Well, first, before I announce who I am, I'd like to take a moment to bask in the fatherly juices of the Rangers being in the first place slot of the NHL. Just a moment.
Okay, let's see.
Okay,
thank you.
This is, Jimmy.
Hold on.
I was going to say, this has got to be Jimmy T.
Fatherly juices.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie.
That was me.
Now, listen. I just wanted to take this moment because tomorrow everything could change. I wanted to be on Blue Shirt Underground Radio while the Rangers have the best record in the NHL.
So
how does it feel, Jimmy T, to be once again on top? I know you're probably on top and a lot of different things in your life, but now your hockey team
on top. That's right.
I say, but your hockey team is now the juggernaut of the NHL.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Since we are now the juggernaut, we should definitely go ahead and trade Marian Gaborik and Mark Stahl. Henrik Lundqvist has got to go.
It's overpaid. We could use that salary cap money to get Bobby Ryan.
In all seriousness, I'm excited about this season, but I'm even more excited about the future of this organization with the draft picks of Glenn Sather and assistant GM Mark Messier, because Christian Thomas, Michael St. How do you
Croy.
Say his name?
St. Croix. He's tearing it up.
Like Nick Snyder, Dylan McElmath, J.T. Miller, Tim Erickson. This squad is deep for the next decade. So let's get used to this and let's not try and, you know, jump on Tortorella because he decided to, let what's his name shoot in the shootout last night first, John Mitchell.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of and it's funny you bring those guys up, and this was even, you know, a lot of Ranger fans don't listen to the show, or yeah, obviously a lot of fans, but most fans do listen. You know, if you didn't know about these guys, you kind of knew they were coming. And a lot of people, Jimmy, don't know that those guys are coming too. Once McElrath gets here and, Kreider is playing next year, people are going to be like, what is this? This is like we're watching, you know, the Rangers are bringing, and I don't want to jinx it, but they're bringing pedigree studs up year after year that are making the team right out of camp. And, everyone is not going to be great, but it's an amazing time to be a Ranger fan, like you said.
I'm knocking on wood. We have Christian Thomas, who plays on the Oshawa Generals in the OHL. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, he broke the fish stick star player's goal record, who just happens to be not John Tavares. Sidney Crosby, right? Played for them?
For the Islanders? Not yet.
No, not the Islanders. I mean the Generals.
Oh, for Oshawa. I think Crosby was on another team. I think Tavares was on Oshawa.
Right. So he definitely broke Tavares' goal record there. But not for nothing, last year he played 66 games, had 54 goals and 99 points. And even in the playoffs, he played in 10 games, had 9 goals, 10 assists, 19 points. Like, these guys are talented. Like, our team is so deep. I'm so excited right now.
Yep. I tell you, I had a chance to meet Christian Thomas last year. He's a nice guy, very small, though. Very
fatherly
small.
Juices. Yeah, he's like 5'9".
Yeah, but he's
definitely a fatherly juices.
Yeah, his fatherly juices are primo. He can score with the best of them. Look good in camp. Look good in Traverse City. I see nothing. That's why I think Zuccarello will be parts elsewhere, too. I think they got to take a look at Thomas. He just can't have that many 5'9 guys rolling around.
Yeah.
Skill guys.
Fatherly right, juices.
Listen, make sure you watch 24/7, Jim, because they did a great job with that last episode. Really was a work of art. So I'm going to get going, but you should definitely check it out, Jim.
I will, Jimmy. It's on the DVR.
Peace out.
For me.
Take care, boys.
Love,
talk to you soon.
Peace, stick, grease.
All right. Chandler, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good night. Oh, good evening.
Night. All right, Chandler. Talk to you soon. Good night, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Chandler knows
did
how
I really
to make it
answer...
Leaves him wanting yeah, more.
Did I really hear somebody say we should trademark Stahl? Did I seriously hear that?
It was put out there. I don't think it said we should, but it was
okay.
Thrown out there. And, you know, listen, we
speculation.
I don't think this is ever going to come to fruition where the Rangers are going to say, listen, you know, we're chopping Mark Stahl. We want Bobby Ryan. But it is food for thought. It's a debatable something to remind people about. So anyway,
you've got to do something to pass the time. All the Rangers do is win.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like people are looking for reasons to find something wrong. I mean, all of the years that we've spent trying to convince ourselves that a team that was barely an eighth seed was a fifth seed. Now we have the number one team, and we're trying to find reasons that we're not. I'm watching people post on the Facebook page talking about how great the Bruins are. Not for nothing, not, you know, how do you say it? No disrespect to anybody. But if you think the fucking Bruins are that great, move to Boston and become a fucking Bruin fan. I'm sick of seeing Ranger fans talking about how great the fucking Bruins are. Okay? They're not that fucking good. We're in first place, not the Boston Bruins. We have the most points, not the Boston Bruins. I don't give a shit how many Bruins have a good plus minus. I don't give a shit about Tim Thomas, who looks like a fucking serial killer, by the way. All right? I don't want to hear about what a great team. They got a bunch of fucking thugs. You got Brad Marchand trying to take out the knees of Sammy Salvo. Guy, listen. A three-year-old could fucking check harder than Sammy Salo, and this guy's taking out his fucking knees. He's old. Who's going to hit me? Are they serious with this nonsense?
Well, you know, I try. You know, I always try to play devil's advocate with it. You know, they're trying to look at it realistically. They're trying to look at the stats. I got people worried. I'm arguing people on other boards, Chandler, who said, oh, you know what, let's not have the number one seed in the East because Pittsburgh will probably finish eighth and we don't want to play Pittsburgh in the first round. I'm like, what? I'm like, if we finish first in the Eastern Conference, I'm going to have a boner. I mean, I'm going to have a bona fide hard-on.
Doing
the
show with
you. I worry about the eighth seed.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's even with the trade stuff, that's the only reason I keep saying Dustin Penner is because he can be got cheaply because not for nothing, he's a system guy. He's not working in L.A. And we don't have to give up anybody or mortgage the fucking future to get anybody because anybody else we try to trade for, we got to mortgage the future. And
didn't
I don't
Dustin
do that.
Penner
I wanna,
just get hurt eating pancakes or something?
Yeah, exactly. So if you think this guy can't be got cheaply right now, come on. He doesn't want to be in fucking L.A. And if you look at his success, he had success in Edmonton when he was playing in the system. Even though Tom Reddy's system is that whole safe, you know, don't do anything wrong deal, the guy plays well in the system. I think he'll do well under Torts because Torts is the type of guy that will challenge him. But if it doesn't work out, we want him giving up shit for him. We'll just take it on some money. You know, Bobby Ryan. I mean, you know how many fucking players we'd have to give up to get Bobby Ryan? We're going to mortgage all of the farm system plus some draft picks plus half the team we got right now to get Bobby Ryan.
I
like Bobby Ryan. He's not that damn good.
I don't know. He's young. He's got the goal scoring. You look at the stats, Chandler. I mean, Uncle Sather, Uncle Mr. Magoo has pulled off some crazy tricks in the past. I mean, how
can't see him getting Bobby Ryan. I can't.
How about they ask for Zuccarello? How about I'll give you a for instance. It's a Zuccarello, Michael Sauer, Volsky. I know you're probably going to say they're not going to take it. But if
they don't make that trade, Harvey. And you know what? I'll even throw in one of our young D-men that's in the minors. If we can get him for that, I'll make that trade to Harvey.
So if they say Dylan McIlrath, Zuccarello, and Sauer.
And I'll throw in Wolfie just to make the money match up. Right. Now, if they take that trade, God bless, Glenn Sather needs GM of the fucking century, and we need to make that trade all day long, every day, plus Sunday.
Actually, people are still fearing the Bruins in the chat room. My God.
I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, Boston, I mean, okay, listen, I can admit when other teams are good, I watch other teams. You know, I'm watching the Capitals right now. The Capitals and the Penguins, as a matter of fact. Right? But Boston, they're a good team. We're in first place. They should fear us. They're chasing us. So stop talking about, oh, well, Boston wouldn't have needed a shootout. I saw that last night. My head almost exploded. Boston wouldn't have needed a shootout to win this game. Are you? Come on. Give your own team some damn credit. It was, oh, and this amount's not scoring. And this
not only that, when did New York fans get so gushy about anything from Boston?
Exactly. I fucking hate Boston. I hate Jersey. I hate Philly. Period. I don't want to hear, I'm not saying anything good about them except, hey, they won, they're okay. That's about it. I'm not saying, oh, their team is better. Really?
This just in, Jason Chimera, now a Boston Bruin.
Oh, good God. Him and Marcel Gotch, right?
The Gooch.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, the thing with the Nesimov and the guys that are scoring, can we allow the players to play the system that Torch is asking them to play? He's asking these guys to say defense first, score second, which is exactly what they're doing, which is why we're winning. Why are we nitpicking? They still see people talking about, Matt, you know, Michael Delzato could score 5 goals in the game, have 10 assists, 25 hits, and play goalie, and somebody will talk about a defensive zone giveaway that he had.
Yeah, well, we certainly do concentrate on the negative, the Bluto Ranger, as we call him. But I think I like your attitude this. We're number one. Everybody else is below us. So let's not. We don't fear anybody. When you're number one, you don't fear anybody. You got there for a reason. And I think a lot of fans look at this like from a fantasy hockey point of view, that if you don't get points every game, you're not valuable to the team. It's not that way. I mean, it takes a cohesive unit to win games. They're winning. So everybody shut up about Jim, because Jim's got a problem with Brian Boyle. We're going to get to that.
Well, I expected Brian Boyle to have the season he's having. I thought last year was a fluke. And I didn't think he'd do as well as he did last season. I really didn't. But as long as he plays the role that he's been asked, which is to be a defensive checking guy, I can live with it.
Okay.
Well, it's the players away from the puck. Brian Boyle, we've done that fucking coverage all fucking year long. You got that fucking mic on, you can't fucking think straight.
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
I love that.
All right.
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
Wait until I get the clips of him drunk in the elf costume.
Oh, my God.
What he's wearing. I know him.
I don't know, man. It's. I'm glad we're in first place. I'm enjoying the fact we're in first place. And I'm not conceding shit to anybody.
That's right.
I'm not conceding anything. Fuck them. They're not in first. When they're in first, then I'll talk about, well, yeah, they're better than us. For the time being. At the end of the season, if we don't win the cup, then somebody was better. Other than that, fuck them.
Man.
When we win the eighth place seed or the seventh place seed, what was the other team, the first place team that was worried about us? They never won. They were like, the shitty Rangers. We're going to win.
Take now I got a feeling you want. They'll never capitalize.
Yeah. Give it a break.
Stick them in the face. Slash them. Hook them. Trip them.
Hook them. Now I got to respect. Screw that. I'm number one.
That's right. They have to respect us.
Give them a 5-on-2. Who cares? All right, Jen. We got to run. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
This fire. All right.
Have a good night.
Take care, Jen.
Bye.
All right.
Continue this firestorm about Brian Boyle. Here's John Tortorella on Brian Boyle.
Brian Boyle has, again, he hasn't gotten many points. That line hasn't gotten many points, but it's been a really good line as far as keeping the puck and forechecking. And when they got stuck there, he's played hard, and I'm hard on him. There isn't much leeway with him with me, but he has done a lot of things with the puck in the offensive zone and defended very well. We used him in the third period against Tavares' line, and they just kept them hemmed in. So good for him. He's done some really good things. It hasn't shown up in his stats, but he's done some really good things for us.
Where'd you find that piece of propaganda?
Oh, I knew I couldn't defend Boyle, so I had to have Tortorella defend Boyle to go against you.
Do you have some program that you can just like say something and convert it to Tort's voice, like Torto Shop or something?
No.
Like you can say whatever you want, and it comes out sounding like Tortorella. That's all right. So what have we learned tonight? We've learned that Brian Boyle has naked pictures of John Tortorella and John Rosasco. I saw him, by the way, what you were talking about. Him in the locker room. He got his face on the cameras like there was any doubt.
That fucking weasel.
So, all right, let's take another call, and then we'll get to Mandar. I think maybe we'll wrap this up in a little early tonight. But we got Vince. Thanks for holding, buddy. Twice.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Who's that guy that just called? Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Does he watch any of the Bruins games?
I say he's mainly watching Capitals and Pittsburgh games.
I mean, the Rangers have basically played beyond my wildest dreams as far as playing well for this year and whatnot, but Boston is just ridiculous. I mean, their goal differential over the last couple of weeks is, I don't know, 45 goals, something like that. Beating teams 9-0, 6-0. You know, I think we can play with them, but I still think that they're a better team right now. I mean, the goaltending, their tandem, I think, is a little bit better than ours.
The Rask is better than Biron for sure.
He's number one in the league.
Certainly a backup.
His goals against average is like 1.59.
Maybe I'm biased, Vince, but I'm taking Lundqvist over Thomas anytime. I mean, maybe I'm biased.
I agree with you on that. I definitely agree with you on that. Boston's got leaders in every category: goals, points, plus minus. Everything. I'm nervous.
And they have the Stanley Cup cred. I give them their just due. It's just that there seems to be this Ranger, again, some Ranger fans have this inadequacy that we can't be the best team in the league. Now, I understand. Points-wise, we are. But, you know, in reality, it may not be that. You know, and I could see people, and I think it can go crazy each way. People are very paranoid being in first place, thinking Boston really is a better team. Look, they're winning 9-0. They're winning 6-0. You know, they beat Calgary 6-0. They've got a lot of weapons. I agree with you there. So I see both sides.
No, Eddie, I have to say, I mean, I'm confident in the Rangers. I mean, every night I turn the TV on to watch them, and I just feel that they're going to win. this is a Cinderella season, you know, at this point. I'm a jaded Ranger fan. Been watching this team since, 1976, 77. And this team lets us down a lot more than normal. But, I'm afraid that we're going to meet Boston in the playoffs and they're going to beat us. That's just...
Well, Prince, let me ask you this. Out of all the teams you've seen this year, How many teams can you say that work harder than the New York Rangers? I mean,
probably none.
I mean, you know, I watch a lot of hockey. I don't see a team that plays with that much of an effort, blocking shots, finishing their checks, hitting. I don't think Boston's come up across that team. Now, I don't know how they'll respond. They certainly have been there before in that playoff type of hockey. You know, and it may take the Rangers some growing pains. They're a young team. They make it. If they meet Boston, they may lose. I will just want the Rangers, for me, the success of this season depends on what they do in the playoffs. They win a round or two, and I know I'm going to say, people are going to say I'm selling it short, but if they win two rounds or they win a round, I probably go with two rounds. Two rounds, if it goes seven and they lose, I say operation success. Okay?
I agree.
I'm not chasing the Stanley Cup yet. You know, and then our expectations don't get so high, too. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think this team is a contender. I really do. I've been watching, you know, Sather and company build this team over the last few years. I really think it's all starting to come together. You know, that power play concerns me. I still think that they need another guy, a skilled player on that power play. And, you know, the third and fourth line, the secondary scoring is not really there. We're relying on, you know, a handful of players to put the puck in the net. If you look in the third and fourth line, there's not much goal scoring going on. So those are the couple of concerns that I have. I'm not saying trade for Bobby Ryan because, you know, Chandler's right on that point. I mean, we'd have to give up a ton of assets to get him. But, you know, maybe a veteran that has some skill that we can get on the cheap, you know, towards the deadline,
right.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I certainly see that, those points. I mean, I you know, the Rangers do need some extra goal scoring from but it seems like the Rangers just really rely so much on their forecheck and so much off that first pass from the defenseman to a forward, and then maybe a chip up to the forward that's even closer, you know, at the blue line. That's how they generate offense. The Rangers do not generate offense by going up the ice quickly, you know, 3-on-2. I agree with you. I think, you know, the Rangers are a team that is, you know, I think is young and it's got to kind of progress, you know, in baby steps. I'm not looking for, like I said previous, I'm not looking for anything crazy right now. And maybe they go at the trading deadline and pick up somebody, you know, without making a big splash, you know, where they'd have to sign, you know, Zach Parise or what a lot of these people are throwing names around. And where they're going to find a cat room to put these guys, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the letting me call in, and I love you guys.
Yeah, it was a great call.
Enjoy your show, and let's go Rangers.
Thanks,
guys.
Vince. Talk to part you. Of our all Colorado right. contingent. Take care. He's out there with Amy. All right. But I don't mean he's with Amy. You know what I mean. He lives out there, not far from Amy. I don't want to spread rumors. I don't talk out of school. all right. I guess bring Mandar in, and then we'll let Mandar wrap things up for us. How about that?
You got it.
All right. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you guys, too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, nothing to complain about. How absurd. Of course, there's plenty of things to complain about.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
We're never going to be satisfied. No, I'm talking about the global community, not myself in general.
The Blutos.
You know, I tend to be on the optimistic side of the fence, so I'm not one of those that are going to put any kind of downer on it. Although, last caller made a very good point about the power play. If you start looking right now at, you know, from game 41 to the rest of the year, if you do this as a playoff push, I mean, positioning yourself, you know, trade deadline, by the way, is earlier this year than it's been in past years. It's at the end of February. So before you know it, it's 6 weeks away. So before you know it, that's coming up on you. But the power play can be a real problem for us come playoff time when there's a lot tighter checking. Goals are a lot more at a premium than they already are in the regular season. So that is a fear I do have of the power play not improving. But
we don't care. We don't care. We don't care.
Oh, people are getting on me in the chat room about the Pen Club.
We don't care, they're saying.
We don't care.
All right, let me tell you something, Mike.
You're an angry bunch.
Right,
you were right, and Vince was right, too, and I forgot that. Rangers started off horribly. Weren't they 30th on the power play to begin the season? They moved up to 25th. I think they're 20th now. I don't think they've gotten a whole lot of power play opportunities lately, too. Didn't they only get, like, one in last night's game? They had, like, one or two in the Winter Classic. And I don't know what happened in the other game, but they haven't had a lot of opportunities. Yes, that's got to be fixed. They've got to be somewhere in the low teens. That's got to be corrected. Whether they have to make a trade, one of the things I was talking to Joe Negative about, who's a friend of me and Nando's, was Girardi on the power play. He starts on the power play. What do you guys think about Girardi starting on the power play?
I think, well, Tortorella was explaining that today, doing that because he's a right-handed shot and getting pucks through on the net for the first power play unit, which is why he moved number four to the second power play unit, so he could shoot wide on the second power play unit. So, again, I'm not a proponent of having Richards on the point on the power play. I like him on the wing down low because he's got a great shot from down there. He can play make to the front of the net rather than being on the point. But, you know, it's an area of the game we got to improve upon. And I'm hoping that doesn't become an issue.
Well, it certainly has been an issue. And that's about the only thing, if you had to complain about, but they keep winning the games. They keep winning the games. So,
yes.
I mean, I don't know offhand how many Stanley Cup champions or teams that have a great playoff success have had a bad power play and still won it. But the Rangers find ways to win. And I got to tell you, Henrik Lundqvist is just having I mean, I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, you guys watch the games. You know, a lot of times, you know, I think sometimes I don't want to say overrate him, but we overhype him. But this year, it's been lights out by this guy. He literally deflates other teams when they can't score. And that's so frustrating when you have a guy like that. And what do you think about his chance for a Vezina? Is that a pipe dream or is that something that might happen?
Well, he'll be a finalist. I mean, but you know, the sexy pick is always Thomas, and then you have a guy like they keep touting Quick out there in L.A. for his great stats, and you know, out in St. Louis, they have. But carried through the second half. There have been times where we've seen Hank having it's like the February lull where he has a little bit of a slump in February because of all the games he's played up till then. So now that he's having a little bit more rest, hopefully that'll negate that somewhat. But getting back to a question you guys asked a while ago about what's the surprises of this year, and I said it in the chat room, I think that the biggest surprise for me this year is the collective defense as a whole. Because that, in tandem with Lundqvist, has been remarkable. Lundqvist is seeing basically one shot. Occasionally he'll have to save a rebound, but you notice he makes a save, and a lot of times Hank's, you know, controlling the rebounds, but when he's putting them out there, they block a ton of shots and they clear that crease out of there. That's the biggest surprise to me, is that a defense that basically had a top three that you could count on, a fourth you didn't know about, and two guys that they signed off the waiver wire made this team a top five defensive team for the first half of the year, in addition to the record they have, to me, outweighs any other surprise that we could have thought. I mean, yeah, your number four is playing better. You know, you got Hagelin comes out of nowhere. These guys have all contributed, all played hard, but I'll tell you what, the defensemen as a unit have been far beyond what any of us expected. Who would have thought? You go back to, you know, before the game started in Europe, and you knew that Staal was going to be out. And all of a sudden, Sauer was, you know, out with a shoulder injury. And you're going, we got to play who? You know, and freaking Bickle has come up and played well. And all the unknowns for a collective defense, that to me has been far and wide the most impressive and unexpected thing for this team. Nobody. They went 3-3 to start the season, and we were worried like anything. And since then, it's been amazing.
Oh, no doubt. There were people saying this team is bad. So, I mean, they've certainly, the defense has played great. You know, and whatever they're doing, whatever system, you know, we've joked about it for years, the so-called system, there actually seems to be one, because just too many guys, odd guys, have either been coached, you know, I mean, Anton Stralman's cut by the Devils. Stu Bickel is a guy who 2-3 years ago was playing in the ECHL, you know, and now all of a sudden they're, I know Jim hates this word, serviceable defensemen. You know, it's amazing. It is, you know, a big surprise.
Yeah, you know, Emminger, I mean, even the guys we were counting on at the back end of the defense, you know, Emminger, he goes out on an injury. Strawman's come in, and remember what Tortorella said when he first, you know, saw the guy? Never heard of him, didn't know who he was. Didn't like him. And his first few practices were terrible. But he's come along and played real well. I think that you can honestly say right now, as opposed to many years in the past, that you can't look at any Ranger defenseman when they're out there right now and get worried that they're out there. And that is something that is so rare for somebody. I mean, I've been watching the Rangers, you know, 40 years. I don't know any other time, really. Even back to 93, 94, when we had that wonderful last combination of... Jay Wells and Doug Lidster, you know, Peter Anderson or whoever else they put out there, you know, there was always that third pair of defense that you worried about when they've taken that fear away at this point through this part.
Jay Wells, Carpenter, he scared me so much in Game 7.
Yeah.
I think he iced the puck every time he got it. He was scared to make a play. I definitely hear what you're saying as far as
and
not being
–
you know, waiting for a catastrophe to happen with one of your defensemen.
But, it is. It's like you could almost not even have the name or the number on the back of the jersey, but they're all playing the same way. And that's so different than teams in the past. And that if you want to call a if you want to compare the Rangers to the Bruins in any capacity, that's pretty much what the Bruins have had their success on. For the most part, because you don't have a Bruin that's going to lead the league in goals. You don't have a Bruin that's going to lead the league in scoring. But they're all going to contribute, and they all play the same way. And the Rangers right now are in that same exact mold. I'm not going to concede Boston's a better team right now, but I'm not also going to concede that just because the Rangers are a point ahead of them, you know, that we're far superior to them either. I think that
they are.
Two teams built the exact same way, two teams that could steamroll if they keep playing the way they are. But, you know, like I said, you take the names and the numbers off the back. They all play the same way. Didn't the Devils used to play that way and we hated them? At least we do it more exciting than they ever did.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's for sure.
We used to call them interchangeable robots.
Exactly.
Well, we've come to the end of our show, Mandar. And, of course, you closed the show like all good closers do. 3 strikeouts in the bottom of the ninth. Put it in the books.
There's no Benitez in this, man.
There's no Benitez in this, man. So I guess before I say goodnight, and Jim, I know you could say your goodnight to everybody, I'd like to do something in honor of us playing Ottawa tomorrow. So you say your goodbyes, and we'll go to a thing, and then we'll be out of here.
Good night, everybody.
There you go. His lengthy goodbye. Many, many weeks he worked on that goodbye.
I was up late writing.
He was up late writing last night. As you know, tomorrow night, was it tomorrow night, Rangers play Ottawa, correct?
Ottawa, yes, sir.
Yes, they're going to be playing Ottawa. Sam Rosen, his love is coming. He'll be able to be reunited, and it feels so good with the great Casper Dolgovins. That's
Peaches,
right.
Peaches and Micheletti.
Peaches and Micheletti. Hey, it'll be a virtual splooge fest on how great Casper Dolgovins is.
Dolgovins.
Let's hope he... Dolgovins.
Need a Dolgovins cat song.
Well, there may be one in the making. So I put this little montage together of Sam Rosen completely splooging over Casper Dolgovins and his fascination with Casper Dolgovins. Something I like to call the Dolgovins Show or the Dog Show. And here we go. Good night, everybody.
Drive was blocked by Casper Dolgovins, number 23. Pass tipped. Gavrik is there. Clearing attempt was blocked. Dolgovins gets hold and clears. Dolgovins, his name is also pronounced Dolgovins, but he prefers, and has told the Ottawa broadcasters, passed along to us, prefers to be called Dolgovins in North America. So we will call him Casper Dolgovins. The goal is Philip Kuba from Carlson and Dolgovins. 13-12 for Casper Dolgovins, his first NHL point.
He was brought up. You mentioned this is his third game because there were some injuries, and he played well enough in the games that when the injured players got back, that he stayed in the lineup.
Lundqvist looks around. Around the board, blocked by Dolgovins. Christensen tried to move it up the boards.
Good pace to the game.
Getting through and a bad save made by Lundqvist.
So our guys down the truck took the first point away from Dolgovins in his NHL career.
Dolgovins out.
Not us. Those guys downstairs.
And Dolgovins. Dolgovins, by the way, I mentioned this is his third game in the NHL this season. Started the season in the minors. Played one game with the Senators last season. From Riga, Latvia. Dolgovins with a big drive and a save made by Lundqvist. He holds up. And Dolgovins, Clevenger. He wrapped his arms around Dolgovins. And Dolgovins.
And Dolgovins.
Dolgovins.
Get out. Dolgovins.
He's Latvian. 4 million. How much does Dogovins make?
Somebody go on CapGeek.com.
I'm going right now. Hold on.